And seeing conditioned existence, seeing life in this way, as invariably subject to suffering, to impermanence, to non-selfness, this seeing is called by a very special name in Buddhism, it's called insight. Translating the Pali Vipassana, or Sanskrit Vidarshana. And insight is axiomatic for Buddhism, can be developed only on the basis of a controlled, purified, elevated, concentrated, integrated mind. In other words, a mind which is meditative. Insight isn't just intellectual understanding, it's direct, intuitive perception which takes place in the depths of meditation when the ordinary mental processes have fallen into abeyance. Certainly one can say that a preliminary intellectual understanding of these three characteristics is helpful, is useful, even spiritually. But ultimately, in the last resort, insight is something which transcends the processes, the workings of the intellectual mind. Now, when in meditation, through insight, one sees conditioned things in this way, when one sees that without exception, everything conditioned, everything that one experiences through the five senses, through the mind, everything that one can feel and touch and smell and taste and see and think about is conditioned, is subject to suffering, is impermanent, is selfless, soulless. When one sees things in this way, then one loses interest. And one experiences what is technically called revulsion, even disgust. Not just a psychological reaction, a spiritual experience. And one turns away from the conditioned. One turns away because one sees it is not, on its own terms, worth having. And when that turning away from the conditioned to the unconditioned takes place decisively as a sort of spiritual experience as a result of the arising of insight into these three characteristics, then one enters the stream, as it is called, leading to nirvana. And one sets one's face in the direction of the unconditioned. Now we must guard here against a misunderstanding. Some schools of Buddhism speak of the conditioned and the unconditioned as though they were two quite different entities, two ultimate principles, as it were. They suggest a sort of dualism, philosophical dualism. But really, it isn't so. It isn't that on the one hand you've got the conditioned, on the other you've got the unconditioned, and there's a sort of vast gap between them. It isn't that. They're more like two poles. So I may even say, and some Buddhist schools do say it, that the unconditioned is the conditioned itself in its depth, in as it were a new, a higher dimension. If one knows the conditions deeply, if one sinks as it were down to the bottom of the conditioned, one as it were comes out on the other side and one penetrates the unconditioned.